Like a call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, January 27th, 2020. And has been our tradition for many years. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of January 13th meeting.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes by Councilman Boulias. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Mayor, let the record show that unanimous vote and that all council members are present. Reason for the executive session under the Maryland Open Meetings Act was to, before a contract is awarded or bids are open, to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal, a public discussion or disclosure that adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. That's the reason for the executive session on the 13th. Next is the review and approval of the regular session minutes of January 13th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Councilmember Boulias of the regular session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Again, it's unanimous vote. And we're now on number two item of the agenda, which is a presentation by the Berlin Fire Company.
They're not here yet, Mayor.
Okay. Well, welcome them when they get here. Okay, good. Next is number three on the agenda is motion 2020-02, approving Coast Kids proposal for the improvement and expansion of the Henry Park Pollinator Garden. Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Verena Chase, Coast Kids Program Director from Assateague Coastal Trust, and I'm seeking approval to expand the pollinator garden that is already existing at Henry Park, in the northwest corner of Henry Park, kind of between Route 113 and the basketball field. So if you look at the map, the orange part is already the existing pollinator garden that was planted last year, and we would like to expand that garden by about 9 by 25 feet or so to the south. It'll be, it'll have a double function of being a pollinator garden and a rain garden. It's a very wet spot, as you see in the yellow circle is basically a puddle. So that's where we would like to plant the garden. We would like to plant about a little more than 100 perennials, native perennials, two or three shrubs, small shrubs, beauty berries or ivrophytescens, then put a border out of river rocks around the garden, around the whole garden, so the existing pollinator garden and the newly planted garden, to make it easier for the mowers to see where the edge is to. And put mulch on top, and also put a sign explaining the importance of pollinators and the rain garden.
And acknowledge that Assateague Coast Kids.
Sure. We would also like to acknowledge the funders. I haven't gotten approval for the funding yet, but I applied for this project in two different grant applications, one being the Keep Maryland Beautiful grant, and the other is from Community Foundation Eastern Shore. Both of these applications, I will know by March if they, one or both, get approved. So we will see. And then I would like to start with the garden preparations in late March and then plant the plants in May. And, well, one thing we as Coast Kids can't do is the maintenance of the garden, so I would like to ask the town to take on the
and that's what we did last year.
Long-term maintenance, right? So.
And one thing I would suggest is that when everything blooms, it's going to be blooming nicely, to take some pictures and make sure that they get on our town websites.
Sure.
In addition to, obviously,
that would be my pleasure.
Website as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if the grants aren't received?
Excuse me?
What happens if you don't receive those grants?
Then we wouldn't plant the garden. Mm-hmm. If we don't get funding, we can't plant the garden.
From those two entities.
So, right, exactly.
Well, this is like a no-brainer. I really would like to move to approve this request.
Take a moment. The Berlin Parks Commission is totally in favor of this. I've viewed the property in person, and it's not conducive to anything else. As a matter of fact, we probably have a lot of spots in the parks that would make future in gardens a reality, too. So we're totally in favor of it and have no problem at all with it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your
input.
Would you like to make a motion?
I do.
Oh, you didn't have that. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Coast Kids proposal for an expansion of the Henry Park Pollinator Garden for the spring, summer, and fall of 2020. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, thank you. Again, that's unanimous.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, the fire company is here.
Yeah. We'll go back to our second item on the agenda, which is the Berlin Fire Company making their quarterly presentation of their medical services and fire.
Yes, they did.
Turn it off.
I told them.
Okay. You have control of your slideshow right there.
Going to do EMS first, John.
All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Thanks.
You want us to pass them down? Probably going to get a little more difficult for you.
Might be a lot easier.
Okay. Do we each have one of these, or do we need to take one?
No, that came off the last time.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
We'll wait till they get.
Good evening, everybody. Dave Fitzgerald, President of Fire Company and President of Emergency Medical Service. We have John Holloway, our EMS Captain, and R.J. Rode, our First Assistant Fire Chief, here tonight. We'll start off, Captain Holloway will go through the stats of the EMS for the quarter. There you go, John. Yes, please. We had 240 in-town EMS calls, which is 59.25% of our calls, and 165 out-of-town calls, which was 40.75%. We had 171 transports and 69 non-transports. Out of town was 104 transports and 61 non-transports. And the non-transports are usually refusals of service or someone decides to go in a private vehicle. Our busiest days are Saturdays and Mondays, followed by Tuesday and Friday.
The busiest time of the day is 1 to 2 p.m., and the time range is 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Now, John, when you guys present this, you give us the busiest days each time. Have you noticed a correlation across the quarters?
The one thing I always notice is Mondays is right there always, and I have no idea why, but Mondays is a busy day.
Everybody's starting the work week off.
The stress levels sky in the morning.
Our response times are 1 minute 31 minutes average. This includes second and third run calls that may be a full volunteer crew, which they respond from home. A review of the random staff EMS calls meets the 60-second standard.
Okay, so get into the budget for the first 6 months of the year. The donations and annual donations, just a reminder, donations are just when somebody arbitrarily sends us a check to the Emergency Medical Service Corporation, and the annual donation is the drive that's mailed out, and we get a return, and that goes to our billing company, and those people who donate that $50, it acts as a co-pay or deductible, if you will. They will not get any balance billing from what their insurance pays, or if they don't have insurance, that will satisfy the call. That has been trending lower, as we've reported before. It's a continued trend. It's so far, we mailed out in November, only 43.79% of what we projected. There usually are stragglers through this month, but after whatever we don't receive in January and part of February, it pretty much stops. So it is a downward trend. The people just expect a service. They have insurance, and they just don't donate. And when we meet countywide, we hear this countywide. Our invoices were right at 49.99%. We should be at 50 in 6 months of the year. We've received all our county funds, and we've received what is required so far, the town, 50% per the town agreement. So expenses. Medical supplies, as we reported last quarter, they are running high, so we're having to monitor that, but they're a necessary thing. We have to have the medical supplies. They're running about 80% so far of the budget. And then we had that unexpected repair just as soon as we started the fiscal year on our heart monitors. So we are right at 99.34%. So hopefully we can get through the rest of the fiscal year unscathed. Our payroll halfway through the year, we're right at 49.37%. So that projection is good. Slightly higher on fuel, as you can see, at 53%. As we reported to you before, we do have a new ambulance order. Matter of fact, staff is leaving tomorrow to go inspect it for 2 days, and they'll be back. The ambulance will be delivered probably in the next 3 to 4 weeks after we do the inspection. There's always things they need to do, and then it has to come back to the local dealership, and then it takes a few weeks at the station to get things switched over. So we are getting a loan from the bank, as we reported, to do that because we have an ambulance that's undependable. It's going past its technology needs, so we've had to replace that. So that'll be all three new ambulances. It's in a previous request in the town to consider the unexpended funds from last year. And we'll need to continue work planning with the town for the capital replacement units.
David?
Yes.
What's your plan with that older ambulance?
It'll be sold at whatever we can get okay. for it. Last time we got $20,000 to $25,000 for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do the best we can. We'll advertise it online and out through the fire EMS community, see if anybody wants it for a thing. Sometimes construction companies or air conditioning companies, those type of people want that type of unit. So it does have a small market. Just where we are in the 2021 process, which we've all started early, town and us included. We've already met with some of the town staff and council members and mayor and talked about a tax rate formula discussion. We do have continued meetings with the county commissioners for increased EMS funding. We talked about our capital replacement schedule. As the EMS captain reported to you before in the last bullet, the next time we replace, we are hoping to save about $100,000 a unit. And we'll just have to have the new front part, which is the engine and the motor and all that, and the rear part, which they call the box or the module, can just go back to the factory and be refurbished, brought up to safety standards. So it will save, instead of $295,000, you know, we'll
try to save about $100,000 if we can. So then two additional pages that you have is a budget summary. As you see at the total at the bottom, we're at 51% for the year, so that's good. We're halfway through the year. And then the breakdown of some specific calls that you guys like to see.
Dave, going back to the first page, the number of transports and the non-transport. So I'm just talking in town. If I would add the 171 and the 69, that would be the total number of calls?
That should add up to 240 if the 911 center did correct doing that in my head. It looks like 240 in my head. Yes, sir.
And how many of that 240 are from the hospital to nursing home?
Well, we don't transport anybody out of the hospital at all. That's private enterprise that does that. Zero. We don't do that. All of our calls are 911, and in the last page of the packet, it'll show you the calls at the nursing home. But we don't do any of that back and forth. That's all private. John, you might hand these up there. You might hand those up. Start. John's going to pass you out the fire stuff, and RJ's going to do the runs. Let me get it.
Coming from?
It's built in Ohio in a factory just south of Columbus, Ohio, called Grove City, Ohio. Does everybody get the fire pack before RJ starts? Assistant Chief, take you through the responses.
So we had a total of 39 fire calls in the town limits. It's 40, obviously 49.3% of the calls, with a little over 50% being out of town calls at 40 calls for the quarter. Our busiest days on the fire side are Wednesday and Saturday, followed by the Thursday and Friday. And it seems like the busiest times for us are between 1 and 2 in the afternoon as well. And 1 to 5 being the time period with the greatest number of calls for us.
And the same question, do you notice a trend on a particular day?
It's very sporadic. Obviously in the summertime it's weekends, but there's no real...
That's mostly due to the tourism.
Right.
But if you take that out, do you notice a trend?
I don't particularly notice it. It's very, very good.
Thank you.
Response times are just a little over 5 minutes. The county has a response check time at 6 minutes. If you don't get something out in 6 minutes, they go to second due. So we're meeting that for the county. And it's on the bottom there, we're also meeting the 9 minutes or less response as well.
All right. So take through the fire company's budget. Same thing with the donation drive. We're down about 30% as budgeted this year. That drive is mailed out in July. That's different from the EMS. So that was mailed out in July. So that is pretty much concluded. We do see a little influx in December where people are trying to get the last-minute deductions on their taxes. So that will probably hold true through the rest of this fiscal year. Fundraisers, they are up slightly due to our hall rentals. Last year we were under renovation, so we're up a little more. Plus we're also renting the conference center. So they are up slightly. Our state aid, we just received both the town portion and the county portion of our state aid funds. That's a restricted fund that we get through the state of Maryland through the Maryland Emergency Management Agency and the Maryland Military Department. It's done by a formula off your registrations, driver's license fees, and that is restricted to capital purchases. And what our fire company uses it for is mainly for fire gear replacement. And then our town funds are being paid as per the agreement. On the expense side, We are monitoring our expenses on our utilities with the new boiler system. We did have one additional unexpected repair after we replaced the boiler with some items for $1,500, but our utilities were anxious. Well, we're not anxious for cold weather, but we are curious to see if we do get a cold spell, how that new item works over the 20-year-old boiler. We certainly hope it would be much more fuel efficient.
So you're thinking it would be more energy efficient.
We hope it is.
As much per day.
We would hope not, but we've not had just that one little cold spell. Same thing with the EMS Corporation, the Fire Corporation, just slightly higher on fuel, and we'll continue to monitor that. Fire equipment, we're on task. As we proposed in the budget, the rescue airbag system has been replaced. And then just last week, we've had an unexpected breakdown of our gear washer. We actually purchased that many years ago under a grant, and that will have to be replaced. It's not repairable, cost effective to repair. So that's why we're a few minutes late tonight. We had to get our proper approvals to have a non-budgeted expenditure for the gear washer. So we'll be ordering that tomorrow. That we have to have that. That is a health and safety issue. We've got to wash our gear from the contaminants before the personnel put that back on. So that has to be used, and that's a special heavy-duty gear washer. This isn't something we go down here at Palmer's to buy. This is a commercial unit made for the heavy-duty gear that the fire personnel wear. The improvements that we proposed, and we've talked about the storage building out back, the old railroad house, the outside is done, and we're working on the inside. So, again, we're putting money back into our infrastructure. And then for the fireside, same thing. We've, of course, met with the town at the same time, talked about the tax rates formula discussion, and I'll be meeting with the chief and chief engineer this week to go through the capital apparatus replacement schedule to get that up here to you. And, again, we've talked about that, where we need to work together to find how we're going to fund capital apparatus replacement. And, you know, in the future, you know, our fire rescue costs, operating costs, they've been pretty stable over the past few years, and we don't see those changing greatly. And you've got the summary on the back page, and as you can see, we're about 47% of the total budget, so we're right here at half a year. And we do, as we've said before, we do hold off a lot of our capital purchases to last quarter, just so when things like this happen, these breakdowns, we're not without funds. So we hold our capital purchase usually to the last quarter of the year before we order those to make sure the funds are available.
Does anyone have any questions for Steve or the other folks, John or RJ?
So one thing, Mr. Mayor, if I could for just a second, that we'd like to announce is the county has purchased the synthetic ice rink. And we are in the process of bringing that to the town of Berlin, and that will be at the Berlin Fire Company up on the second floor. We approve tonight as soon as we get with the Parks and Recs Department from the county. That'll be in March, and we'd love to have people come up. We are going to use it for a fundraiser, so there'll be a $5 charge, very small fee, to come up and use that ice skating rink. And we've talked about our hours being Thursday evenings, Friday evenings, Saturday afternoon in the evening, and then Sunday afternoon. So we'd appreciate any support we can have from the community to come up and enjoy that rink in March while it's cold outside. Our hall is heated, and you can use the synthetic ice and have a nice evening or afternoon.
Are you gonna create like a social media event so it can be shared easily?
Yep.
And stuff
so,
like
so
that?
as soon as we get the dates from the Parks and Rec Department firmed up, we will put it out on our Facebook and our website and do a press release out to the public. And we always include your deputy town administrator, because she controls or has access to the public access channel. We always make sure she's included on our press releases. She's always very nice about getting that out for us.
I agree. I think publicity in all its ways now, it used to be you just put a press release in the paper and announce it on the cable, cable channel, and that would be pretty much all you have to do. But now with all the social media activity, I would just encourage you to put it out there every way you can, and I know between both of our town website and our Main Street website, we'll be happy to promote this. And that'll be there about a month, about 4 weeks?
Well, no, I think he's been pushing me pretty hard on email and text for like 2 to 3 weeks. So it's not an easy task to set up and take down. They're apparently 80-pound panels. So once they get them down, they want to keep it in one spot for 2 or 3 weeks, and that would help us raise some funds. And then we've corresponded with the town. We are hosting the Delmarva Firemen Association Convention. That's fire companies from Wilmington, Delaware, all of Delaware, all the Maryland Eastern Shore, all the way to Cape Charles, Virginia. So we are hosting that the end of April and May. So there will be an opportunity for our businesses as well to partner together with us for ads in the convention book. But also there will be downtime for them or spouses that can come uptown and frequent the businesses. So it's an opportunity for the town to have some visitors that may not be here. And we got a reply from the town. You're going to put a welcome thing, and we put an invitation out to welcome the mayor, council, or administrator come up and say a few words at the opening of that. Again, to encourage the people not participating to come through town, visit the businesses, and spend some money and come back another time. So it's the first time we've hosted it that I'm aware of and that anybody can find in the books.
Now, will you have any, like, live training events for that, or is it mostly...
It's mostly business. It's business related. It's an association.
Where are you going to hold your meetings?
At the firehouse. The men's group will be in the firehouse upstairs, and the ladies group will be in the conference center, the old library. So we're going to actually host both. They liked our facility because usually what happens, the ladies have to go far away or somewhere else. When they came here, they fell in love right away because everything could be held in one spot.
After we're inside the opportunity to host this for the first time, I would imagine there's quite a significant percentage of folks who've never been to Berlin before.
I would think.
Good for everybody.
And Stevenson Church, United Methodist Church, is going to host the memorial service. They always have a memorial service for fallen fire personnel. That's going to be on Saturday, and they've offered to host that. So there'll be a memorial service on Saturday as part of the
congregation. So,
thank you for your support for that.
Thank you.
Good. I just have a quick question.
I just had a quick question. On the call-outs for the fire company, do you lump in when you get called out to support the other fire companies in the county? Is that just all lumped into your call-outs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious about that.
And one thing I've just noticed is that, just as a reminder, do you have an idea of when your annual audit through PKS, the town funds, when you're expecting that to be all reconciled and ready?
The last thing I know, I filed an email chain on Friday, is we gave you the draft copy. They should take draft off of it. They just need to footnote where we've separated the two corporations and the two accountants are, I'm just filing an email chain. They are discussing back and forth how to properly footnote the official separation of the two corporations. I would think as soon as they get the accountant stuff done, I would think but we are done. No numbers are going to change. The draft that you got is complete. It's just they have to take that word draft off and footnote those change in assets.
It's good to know because obviously getting close to that time when we have to begin budgeting and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
And let's see. And like I said, when we get into that, obviously we'll be talking about all these different ideas. I think one of the things is that we're trying to find a way, even though it can't be done in any one year, that there's some sort of, and again, we call it funding forming, but we call it funding strategy, where the between the county and the towns, that there's appropriate proportional amount of financial support based on the workload of each fire company. Because right now, from our perspective, regardless of the size of the town, everybody's treated the same. And obviously Ocean City is the busiest, and they're unique in every way. Berlin's right there, number two. Certainly not in the same league, but by far much more called on EMS and fire. And yet, in terms of the funding that we receive, that in turn, and again, to turn right over to the fire company, it's the same. It doesn't matter if it's a fraction of the number of calls, we get the same amount of money. That is a flawed process, in my opinion, because no matter how much we scrape up, right, and we're talking, right now in the neighborhood of $540,000, the highest it was of over 600,000, it still doesn't meet the needs that you say are required, because we get the same amount of money as if you all were doing a fraction of the work we do. So something's got to give. I don't expect that we fix overnight, but I think it's time to begin the discussion. Obviously, Ocean City and Berlin, we know something's out of whack here, and I think the smaller departments, if everybody's going to get all the financial support you say you need, it's got to be a team effort between the towns, municipalities, and the county. And I just want to state that for the record so everybody knows it's nothing, you know, it's just time to begin the discussion and see if we can't get to a better place, because, you know, we can't squeeze blood out of the turnip here. And yet that's where exactly where we are. And it's not because we don't want to support and give you all the support that you would like to have. It's where's the money coming from? And I think, again, if the support we get from the county is proportional to the responsibilities of each fire department, I think this could be worked out. Maybe not in 1 year, but certainly within two or three. And I just throw that out so you can share it with, you know, your members, and certainly with the public, and, you know, we're sharing it with the public and the press.
Well, I just want to correct you on one thing. It's not equal for the EMS. It's only for the base fire funding, because EMS is call volume based, so it is not equal for EMS. The formula is equal, so I just don't want anybody to think that we're getting the same amount of money as Stockton. It's for fire base funding, that is the only thing that's treated equal, divided by 10, but everything else is based on call.
What I'm saying is the
calls.
Municipalities, grants to municipalities are the same.
Okay, yeah.
Just so you know, I mean, most people don't know that. And, you know, I think we've worked with that system for a long, long time, but it's not 1975 anymore. And so we need to have a discussion. It's not against anybody being for or against anybody. It's just, hey, we've got to find something that works, and we'll continue to work for the, you know, the next generation or so. And I just want to throw that out so you know what our situation is. Yeah, I totally agree. I don't want anybody to be misinformed there about the way the formula works. But quite frankly, the formula is not the problem. It's how each town is supposed to do our fair share. If we have a lot more, our share is a lot larger than some other towns, and we're all getting the same grant.
Okay. I think we made that point when we met with the county in our meetings that we've had so far, mm-hmm. that it's not anymore what all the company, each company is kind of putting out what we need, and specifically. So hopefully we can go down that road.
Yeah, I think we can have a meeting of the minds somewhere along here. And I just want you to know what we're talking about so we can, you know, do our best to coordinate. And obviously all entitled to your opinions and judgments on these things. But I just like everybody to know, because, you know, this is our biggest grant. And we're trying to figure out how do we not only fund what we have, but how do we grow it over time.
And one thing quickly, I think when people think of the Berlin Fire Company, they look at it as Berlin proper. And I would say that from my experience, you have one of the larger service districts in the entire county, and you serve a lot of the Route 50 and 113 corridor. So there's a lot to be said for that. So I don't know if you can apply an equal weight to the Berlin Fire Company as you could to some of your peers. So,
okay.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
These are just from my own edification, so I'll know. First of all, does the fire company get into an economic agreement with other agencies that use fuel so they can hinge in on getting a better fuel rate? I mean, like, do they share with Ocean City, the county, and all that when it comes to buying gasoline or whatever they need? And, you buy by the quantity, you get a better rate. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we buy bulk fuel in North.
Okay, but you're not doing it with any other agency.
Not as a bulk. We've asked the county, but we're not through the state contract. But we do.
You would share it with the county.
We do price. We do price out, and we are also fully taxed. So we don't pay.
Okay, good. Then the only other question I have is, what's being done with the library, or the old library? That's
David. It's difficult to hear,
okay.
If you don't mind just speaking up a little bit. I realize you guys are like right there with one another, but.
So the old library is partially used as our administrative facilities, which freed us up out of headquarters, the 214 building, which allowed our career staff now to not sleep in basically a closet. They now have a full bedroom where we can sleep. They have a locker room now. They have a kitchen dinette area now for our employees. And now for the first time, our officers have actually an office. They can sit down and work, and they're not having to tote stuff back and forth, homes and folders, and then our pickups and cars. We actually have a place where we can work now and be organized. And then two-thirds of it is a conference center set up that we are renting. We just had some sort of function there Saturday that was rented, so it is available to rent. About 100 people can go in there safely with the fire marshal. And it's got AV stuff, a small kitchenette that the library has in there, conference center that's available to the public, and to the nonprofit. The sheriff's talking about coming and doing some community training.
Okay, good. That sounds good. That's for you.
Thank you.
Now we're up on number four on the agenda, which is a presentation by Whitby Youth and Family Counseling that they make each year to tell us about their youth programs. And tonight, if you'll introduce yourself and your position.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Dr. Jennifer Lagore, the new executive director at Worcester Youth and Family. I'm the new Steve. I'd just like to say thank you very much for supporting our youth programs over the years. I've been with Worcester Youth for 11 years already, and I know the amazing things that we're doing with kids in the community, so I want to say thank you very much. And I'm going to give it over to Tiffany Scott, who is our program coordinator and does an amazing job with the kids.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
All right, so our youth programs that we have Berlin Youth Club, which is our summer program for kids 6 to 12 years old that live in the town of Berlin. Then we have our adolescent. Okay, sure. Thank you. Perfect. Then we have our adolescent program, Sabres and Sages, for kids 7th and 8th grade. It's an enrichment-based program. And we have our new program, Worcester Connects, which pairs youth with mentors. Within the community. Then we have youth community outreach that we do. These are some of the topics that we go through all our programs. I'm just going to pinpoint a few. We do team building, nutrition, self-awareness and empowerment, and goal setting. We'll talk about some of these as we go along. So this summer was a great summer. It was my first summer with Berlin Youth Club, and we did a lot. I don't know if you guys were following us on social media, as you should, but we actually, one of the things that I'm very proud of, and it made things a lot easier, we partnered with 24 community organizations this summer. And that was very helpful. And they helped us provide meals for our kids and for our kids to come and do different activities at their organization, sometimes even for free. So we had the pleasure of doing 25 interactive experiences throughout the summer. And I say experiences because they truly did experience a lot of things that they hadn't done before. So this is some of the things that we did this summer. And I don't know if you guys can see this middle picture up here, but they learned that you could use a tarp, shampoo, and water and make a slip and slide. And they were, like, so amazed with that. That was fun. We went to the community pool in Cambridge, Maryland, and we did flag football at the Worcester County Rec Center. And that was nice because a lot of kids in Berlin, they don't get down to Snow Hill. So it was something different, and they really loved it. One of the things that they did that was the most transformative activity was going to Four Steps Therapeutic Horse Farm. When we went there, the kids were terrified. They were like, we don't want to ride horses. We don't want to do that. But by the time we left, they couldn't wait to go back. And they truly learned all these things, patience, teamwork. And it was very interesting to see. We had a fun fit field day. We took them all out to Henry Park. We brought out the old games like tug of war and kickball and egg races and things like that. And what we learned was they just want to get out there and have fun. You don't have to spend a lot of money. They just want to get out and have fun and get off of technology, believe it or not, and have a good time.
Now, Tiffany, can you go back for a moment?
Sure.
I'm familiar with all of them except for the one in the top right. What is that?
The top right. This one?
Yes, the one with
the one that I'm in. You know, I don't know what that is, but we all got inside of it and just tried to run.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know what it's called, but it was fun. Thank you, Zach.
You're welcome.
And then we went to AGH Community Garden. Again, showing them what's available in the community around them. So AGH has a wonderful community garden that anybody can go to. They went out there. They gardened. They picked the different plants that were ready, and they made some food out of it, and we actually made a meal out of it, and they served them all lunch. So they saw those different steps, and even how to compost. So that was good, and they can't wait to get back out there. We went crabbing at Ayers Creek. They love to explore the water as they do kayaking too. So that was always fun, and we do this annually going out to Ayers Creek. Now, this is something we did new this summer. It was a riot. So you take these kids, all these royal kids out here to goat yoga, what it was supposed to be. And some of them were scared, and some of them, you know, they loved them. They wanted to take them home. And a parent's calling me, said, "What's this? My kid wants a goat now." I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, animals are good for your mental health, you know. So we definitely wanted to explore that, and we made goat. Cheese out of goat milk, and it was just a whole different experience. So we went up to Salisbury to mix martial arts with Bryn Hudson, which was a great time. We learned self-defense techniques as well as anti-bullying techniques and strategies. So that was really fun. So this takes us to our adolescent program, SABRES, which stands for Supporting Adolescent Boys Through Education and Resources. SABRES Boys, we did a lot of things so far. We started in the fall. It's a year-long program. But so far we did, so for World Kindness Day, I took the boys to the Ocean Element Salt Spa, and they got in the salt cave to do something kind for themselves, which is self-care. You know, so wanted to teach them that. These are different topics that we've been going through so far. We went to the library, did a few STEM activities, which they made hovercrafts. They had a challenge in a wind tunnel. So they really liked that one. We really tend to focus on a lot with the physical activity with the boys because after a full day of school, they're tired. And, I mean, they are just antsy at being still and having to contain themselves, so they like to be busy. So the Sages girls, I don't know if you guys can see this, but they were out to, Heron Creek, I think. And it's this big hill, and they're rolling down this hill, literally rolling down this hill. But we did a mindfulness walk, just getting the kids to be more self-aware and in tune with themselves and the environment around them. We also did a lesson on personal hygiene. That was important. And then we enjoyed Berlin for Halloween. I never had a Halloween like that. It was amazing. And the Sages girls actually got to go down to Cambridge, Maryland, and join their peers throughout the Eastern Shore for a youth empowerment summit down at Chesapeake College. It was really nice. They enjoyed it. They did topics as goal setting and self-esteem and different things like that to help them feel empowered to be the person that they know they can be. And our new program, Worcester Connects Mentor Program. If anyone is interested, we're looking for mentors, by the way. So this program is designed to link kids with adult mentors, volunteers throughout the community. It is for kids in sixth grade to 12th grade that are having problems with academically or socially in school. And we want to get them on the right track, and they just need a little guidance for that.
Did you say 6th to 12th?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. So we don't want to just have fun. We want to have fun but give back to the community as well. So we got them involved with a lot of different things. They serve food at Giving Tuesday to different organizations. That was good. The community, and they helped deliver the food. They also volunteered at the Peach Festival and did some kids' games out there. They went out to Bluebird Farm and helped plant trees, and not plant trees, help put out the Christmas trees and stack firewood and lay mulch. And they also did a beach cleanup. So it was a variety of things. We had the pleasure of 10 kids doing service learning hours at our organization, and they did about 150 hours total throughout the year. So different community outreach that we're involved in for the youth. This is in Pocomoke, where before school started, we had pajamas and books that we gave away to Pocomoke Elementary School. The one in the middle, we go to across the street to the church for their food soup kitchen, on Wednesday. And the kids come along sometimes if they're out of school. And here, this is for this Christmas spirit campaign that we did. We had the pleasure of 20 kids in our program attending this, where they got to go to Walmart early in the morning and spend $100 on whatever they wanted to. And this is the things that we consider that was success throughout this year. The kids, they learned how to be resilient. They learned how to be themselves and not follow behind their peers, and how to collaborate and work with each other, and just how to push through all of that. Upcoming events and future plans. We have some town events, such as Spring Fest, that we're going to be doing. We're planning for the summer again. We just started a great new initiative down at Buckingham called Worcester Wellness, where we're starting a little younger with the younger kids and just teaching them those growth mindset and how to be positive and those different tools. So, you know, by the time they get to us in those other programs, they'll be well-versed in those. And the Junior Achievement is having a youth-driven job fair at the Ocean City Civic Center. Is it? Convention Center, I'm sorry. So we'll be participating in that as well.
Tiffany, as you understand, if I understand correctly, is that like at the town events, like at Spring Celebration, the young folks that you are mentoring actually then oversee and if you could tell some of the activities that you do for all the kids who are attending.
Yes, sir.
So that's a big attraction.
They do. They actually come back, and they love to do it. They help volunteer, help run the kids' games, and just help us out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone have any questions for Jennifer or Tiffin? If not, we thank you very much for keeping us up to date. That means a lot. It's one of those things where it's not just once a year, but we appreciate you coming two or three times a year to tell us what's happening and what's being done in the program. It means a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number five of our council meeting agenda, and that is an update on the Heron Park cleanup. And two or three days after the last meeting, we were contacted by the Maryland Department of Environment, and they told us that they wanted to have a groundwater testing of the water. Groundwater under the area where the chemical spill, or caustic acidic acid spill was occurred last June. And so we could find the obviously it's something we just, you know, couldn't sit around and just wait for, so the council approved that by poll vote. And the cost is just under $13,000. And the testing should be done, within a couple weeks or so?
Probably around 2 weeks, yes.
And then the results not too long after that.
Correct.
And so we're you know, and whatever the results are, obviously we'll be announcing them to the public and the press and posting and so forth. So, Jeff, if you'd like to talk a little more about so people can kind of get a feel for what's happening.
I have a question quickly. For item A, I saw the poll vote come out. I saw two aye votes, but I never saw the third. What was the vote count on that?
There was three votes, yay, one vote.
I was against.
Vote either way, and Council Member Burrell did not vote.
And how was that paid for?
The Water Department's contingency fund. It's already budgeted money. It's not comp money where borrowing from reserves or anything like that. And one thing, each department does have a contingency. They're not identical in the amounts because different departments have different requirements and needs. But yeah, it's budgeted money, but it's in the contingency, which is for things that go bump in the night. And this is certainly qualifies for that.
And this just so everyone understands, the correspondence that the town did receive from NDE, it wasn't, will you do this? It was, you will do this. And they directed that they'd like the testing to be initiated within 30 days of receipt of that correspondence. So what we did do with a phone conference with NDE, they did agree with the engineering firm that we proposed, and that was EA Engineering. And the logic behind EA was they've done all the pre-work out there, so you're not going to pay another firm to come in and start the process from the very beginning. And in that process with MDE as well, we were directed to, it was pretty broad, so we did narrow it down via phone to do the following work. And what that work is, if you take, this was where this area here where all the circles are, and that's pretty much where the spill site did occur. So what we proposed to do telephonically, and it's in the written scope of work that's been submitted to MDE. Initially, they will, EA Engineering will drill three shallow water wells. Where it says initial well, that's the depictor, if you will, up here, three wells. And then what will happen, the perimeter wells will be drilled as well. But the wells that will be tested will be these three here, and they're testing for only the chemicals that were stored in that facility where the spill did occur. Now, if I may real quick just share with everyone, I'm not a scientist, I'm not an engineer, but when that spill did occur, so everyone understands, that spill site, the chemical itself was cleaned up, and quite a bit of earth was removed from that site, all the way down to where it tested with zero or a neutral pH level. So, again, I'm not an engineer, I'm not a scientist, but I feel very confident that chemical did not seep into that groundwater. So what MDE wants us to do is to test in those three wells. They will do a field test that day. We'll have results that day. If there is something in those waters, then they'll go to the perimeter wells and test that. If there's nothing in those initial three wells, then these wells will not be tested. Okay? So where we're at, the scope of work has been submitted to MDE, and we're waiting on their approval. And that was actually submitted on Friday, this past Friday. So I expect a response within 7 days from last Friday. Once we get the approval on that scope of work, EA will mobilize and we'll be out and begin the work immediately. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Jeff?
My question is the $12,982, I'm assuming that's for the three tests on the yellow circles?
That is for the work for its entirety.
So if they are to have to test the green and the,
that's right,
the blue circles, that's
correct,
included in your $12,900?
That's correct.
Okay.
And just so everyone understands some logic on something, my argument was, why do we need all these other wells if these three come back and they're negative? Why do we need to do all this? When you get into the mobilization, everything's there. It's relatively inexpensive cost per well versus bringing them back out and starting the process all over.
And that's why you got the equipment there.
Yes. Fair statement, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any connection with the estuary that the drilling and the wells are testing with the estuary of the town water?
No.
Okay.
What's being tested is shallow water, and I want to say it's about
no more than 15 foot.
15 foot max depth. So no. And I feel, again, I'm not a scientist or an engineer. I feel very confident that doesn't win prizes.
Marie, do you have a question?
What happens if they do find something?
If they find something, let's worst case scenario. If they find something in these three wells, and then they test the outside wells, if they find something. The next thing is, my understanding is the aquifer flows in this direction here, going up to the top left. So So then they would be into a process where they'd be testing individual wells at some of the homes on North Main Street, on 818 all the way out.
Are we going to be liable for the remediation of that?
We could be.
Any other questions or comments?
I have a request that when the minutes come out, that this item A be shown as a reflective vote in a table that we typically show the format. And
well,
I'll
typically done that way.
Okay, I didn't know if it was an email poll if it was done that way.
Yeah, once they're announced in the course of the meeting, they become part of the minutes.
Okay.
This has been and done for years and years.
I agree. I just disagree with the way that we paid for it. That's it. And I have that right, but you all have the right to vote the way that you feel as well. And I would ask that my email be included in that for the record, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to get an update on there has been significant debris removal by town staff, particularly Public Works, this month of January. So you can kind of give an update on where that is.
Either way, however you want to proceed.
Bear with me as I learn to operate technology. Okay.
You did.
No. I first want to say never underestimate a challenge and people's ingenuity. Because Dave Wheaton and Jamie Latcham, the real deal was, you can see in this picture here, since I felt the smile balls, I apologize. This is the before, and for the council, the left-hand picture is the before. So the direction that Dave and Jamie were given, come on guys, do what you can do down here. You got to do something. Well, all said and done, you look at the bottom right, the after picture. When this park is opened back up, I can't put it in words. It's night and day, black and white, different. So it looked really good for what they did there. The second site, this is where the partially demolished building is located. You can see the before, again, the left-hand side. The right-hand side is the after. Now it's a little wet down there, but that'll take care of itself. But all that debris has been cleaned up on that site there. Next one, the clarifier. And this picture does not do justice, I can tell you that. You're looking at this and saying probably the right side looks worse than the left side. I can assure you the left side, unless you've got great eyeballs, all around the perimeter of this concrete, there was rebar, I don't know, 24 to 36 inches in height, sticking up towards the sun. Okay? This right-hand picture, all of that rebar has been bent so it's parallel and level with the ground, okay? And how many, I don't know how to describe the loads of dirt that we took from the Graham Avenue project.
Roughly 180 tandem loads of dirt.
And we've got the biggest hill in Worcester County down here now.
Okay? Aside from the dump.
Very close to the dump, okay? So what the plan is, this area on the right, you can see all the water. That'll be pumped off the way it's supposed to be pumped off. And then in turn, that mountain of dirt will, because this is low ground, if you can't tell, it's like a cereal bowl. It's a bowl. So that will be filled in once all that water's pumped off, and then that will be covered. When that, I'm hoping that that'll be done by close of business on Friday of this week. Okay? Lastly, the area on the left, it speaks for itself. You can see what it looks like. The area on the right looks really nice. Mr. Dave Wheaton had a brain flash, as I call it, and he said this concrete pedestal on the right, pretty decent piece of concrete. He said, let's turn it into an advantage. And his idea was that at some point, hopefully soon, we get things cleaned up, is to install two picnic tables up there. Where you can sit up there and watch the water on the left or look over to the right. So my hat's off to, and a sincere thank you to Dave. And that's it. Okay? Questions?
How much did all this cost?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Good.
Tipping fees to the landfill, I don't have a figure
Eight tons?
8 tons, so you're guessing, I'm guessing $70 a ton, be conservative. So 8 times 7 is what, 560? The movement of that mountain that I call that dirt, that'll take place on Friday. The contractor that I engaged to do this is going to run about $1,800.
To move the mountain.
Now, Jeff.
Sorry?
You got to give it some justice here. Sometime in October, this was originally presented as a $55,000 project.
That's correct.
And town staff went back to the drawing board and were able to save a substantial amount of that. So hats off to the ingenuity and the gumption, and whatever else you might lot in there for decent savings.
I feel very confident to this town that, assuming weather holds out, we finish up what we're doing down there Friday afternoon, it's going to look like a totally different place. I'm not going to tell you we'll be seeded and all by Friday, but the plan is obviously to seed all that area as well. Yes.
That sounds great. I just, in the costing, are you keeping track of our labor?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
We've had probably 3 weeks, three employees. So, what, 40, 120 man hours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next, number 6 on the agenda is a public hearing on Ordinance 2020-01, which is the solid waste ordinance. This is not the bulk pickup that has had much discussion in the late last year. This is the, wordsmithing and basically updating of an ordinance that we've had for several years to bring it into line with current requirements. We basically were eliminating some old language and replacing it with new language. It doesn't change the scope of what the work, or what the ordinance requires, but it does bring it up to date. David, is there anything that specifically we need to, or should?
No, you can just start public hearing.
Okay. But basically, so we put what the public hearing is about. It's basically, is it fair to call it housekeeping?
I think it was, at least from what I've gathered from Mary and Jeff, it's a housekeeping matter to make the ordinance conform with what the practice in town has been.
Right, correct. That's correct.
All right. Well, then we'll go ahead and start the public hearing. Anyone wish to address the mayor and council regarding the solid waste ordinance and updates and revisions that are being proposed? Yes, ma'am.
I just had one question on the, there's a section that where it talks about the special fees for bulk pickup or yard waste, and it can be set by the director, I think. Is that something that's going to be discussed as far as like a public?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're basically, we did get this housekeeping done, then that's something I anticipate will be done well before the next bulk pickup, which is, I think, the first week of May. Is that about right, Tom?
I missed the comment.
We're talking about when we do the bulk pickup, which we're not addressing tonight.
Correct.
But that is scheduled, I think, the first week of May?
April.
First week
of April. I don't know exactly what weeks, but it's in April.
Well, we'll have a discussion, and we'll have a decision well before, so that everybody knows what to expect. And then this is the irony. It's not like everyone's doing this, but there's enough that is making a substantial difference. We're hoping with the fact that now people understand that it does make an impact, that we'll have very, hopefully, 100% compliance or very close to it. But that's coming soon. I don't know.
Next week. Mary and I had a conversation more than once about this, and our plan is to introduce the bulk pickup policy, not ordinance, policy at the next next meeting.
Our next meeting will be
yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
well, that's sir. Good. That's even faster. Okay. Thank you. Is there any other comments or questions regarding the proposed ordinance here on our solid waste? Yes, sir.
When you introduce the policy, will the fees be set, or will they be each time you're going to do a bulk pickup, you may assess a different fee?
No, they'd be set. They'd be set for at least the idea is they'd be set for a year, and let's see if they're effective. The ideal would be set fees, and then we don't have anything that has to be instituted because everybody just follows the policy.
So will the fee be, if I put trash out and I comply with the policy, I will pay a fee because now all bulk
No. We're trying to basically get people to put out what they did for years, to put that back out and continue to do that, and not put out construction materials and a dozen mattresses in a home that has two beds and things of that nature.
So it's not really a fee, it's more of a fine for lack of a better term, this behavior.
But that's not part of this policy.
No, I understand it's not part of this.
But before we agree that there will be fees established, I wanted to figure out are these fees
that ordinance
be upon everyone participating?
If I may, the public hearing is regarding the ordinance.
Correct.
Nowhere in the ordinance are fees being set.
Oh, I understand they're not
so
being
set. So it's a completely separate conversation.
I apologize, but my reading is including fees to be assessed is part of this document.
It allows for fees to be assessed. It is not assessing them.
But
it does not mean that they will assess them. It just gives them the ability to do so.
Can I ask one question? Can you please elaborate on the process for a moment so that people understand that in order for a fee to be assessed, it has to happen here in public session?
Exactly.
That's not something that can be done after
right.
this is passed. It requires a whole nother.
It's not an administrative.
The only language in the ordinance that does provide an opportunity for the assessment of a monetary amount is if the public works director makes a determination that someone in one instance has abused the trash collection altogether, they can say, yeah, we'll pick it up for a fee. That's the only time. It doesn't have anything to do with the bulk waste. It has more to do with a situation where, just to give an example, they filled their waste wheeler with dead fish. And now our public works department has to deal with that. And that's not something they can just dump in the back of a truck and take. But at the same time, we can't just leave it on the street.
Right.
So we have to deal with it. We have to be able to charge them something appropriately outside of bulk collection, yard waste, or any other special collection. That's the only time that a fee can be assessed without it coming before the mayor and council first.
Thank you.
Because it's an emergency kind of situation.
Thank you.
And get the whole point of this is to get people to stop and think about what's happening. It's a phenomenon that's happened in the last 2 to 3 years that was not any kind of a problem or a challenge for years. So I think by addressing this and making people aware, making sure that it's obviously going to be an open discussion, that people will stop and think. Whatever incentive people may feel that they have for collecting bulk goods from their neighbors or relatives or friends or whatever, will just simply go away again like it did for many, many years. It seems to me, unfortunately, it would be nice if everybody just could agree, we'll stop. No, but if you put the potential of financial disincentive in, it seems to make a difference. Just human nature, I guess. Is any other questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, the public hearing is now closed. And the motion on that ordinance will be, when will we be able to consider that? Okay. Can we do that now, or do we put it off to the next meeting?
We do. I'm making a motion we adopt ordinance number 2020-01 as presented.
We have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to adopt ordinance 2020-01, the solid waste regulations for the town and ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. But the record show was a unanimous decision of all council members. Okay. Now we're up to item 7, which is the creation of a loading and unloading zone on Pitt Street and 15-minute parking spaces on Commerce Street. And Avi are going to show us what's being proposed for the council's approval amendment tonight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is a continuation from our last meeting when the proposal was made to have our unloading zone on Pitt Street in front of Bleach Butterfly, or I'm sorry, in front of Stewart's Antiques and Town Center Antiques. After Zach made a recommendation that we should look at another location, Jeff Fleetwood and I went and we discussed that area. I also spoke with our UPS driver who is in favor of that area, and I think that Chief was also brought into this as well. So we have decided that that would be an optimum place for our unloading zone instead of originally proposed what we had 2 weeks ago. And then also Councilman Burrell wanted to know if it would be possible to designate a couple of parking spaces for people just to run into the bank. So I've also included that in tonight's proposal as well for those two parking spaces on Commerce Street next to Victorian Charm.
Yeah, is it the designated 15-minute spaces, is that from 10 to 6 also?
Correct.
The same times?
Correct, same time.
Okay, is that, again, on the unloading zone, they're working Saturdays and I don't know much on Sundays, but that would be available any day?
For the
unloading zone.
The mail and UPS does deliver on Saturdays, so that's throughout the week, but that's only from 10 to 3.
And Sundays, don't they?
And
I mean, they're delivering more on Sundays. Mm-hmm.
And then when Amazon starts delivering, they deliver all the time.
The unloading zone is 10 to 3.
The unloading zone is 10 to 3, but the 15-minute parking is 10 to 6. They correspond to the same hours as the bank.
Both are basically 7 days a week, so it's not all days and all days, because I think that would be very confusing.
Correct.
Okay, good. 7 days.
Do you need a motion to approve?
Yes.
I make the motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion. Councilmember Tindall to approve the loading and unloading zone on Pitt Street and 15-minute parking, two parking spaces for 15-minute use on Commerce Street. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think that, again, Councilman Tindall, thank you for your suggestion, because I think that's the best of all locations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask a question on that, Jay?
Sure.
How is that going to be enforced? If there's no police in Berlin, how are you going to enforce people from not staying in those parking places? The same as people park, it says 2 hours, they're parked there all day long. How is that going to be? Are you going to enforce this?
Of course we are.
Is it going to be a police?
We're not going to go ahead and tell people. You're going to call. And if you don't call then it won't happen. Again, when we got to look at the bank, the tellers were there and the people were there. Again, we can get involved in the back here.
Because sometimes they double park on Commerce and boogie into the bank and out again.
They park on the red curb, they park.
I know.
And they double park on Main Street, and UPS parks on Main Street. So again, I can go straight to the FedEx guy because it's the same FedEx guy.
Have been very, very good about being in the back and delivering out, but it's other, you know, it's just regular people parking, like in the unloading zone. I'm waiting for UPS to pull all the kind of trucks sitting in their place.
And that's very easy to get deal with them.
Yeah, again, I think the thing is, if you see something,
yeah,
in this case, we're not talking about period of time, but we're talking about something that's inconvenient and inconsiderate of everyone else, all you have to do is give a call. And again, if you call the police department, they can be there. They're not miles away. And they're always patrolling, so they can be there in a matter of a minute or two.
I wanted to make mention that not only did I talk to UPS, but I also talked to FedEx, and they were both in favor of it.
Have you designed a sign or something that's going to go up?
Yeah, we'll have appropriate signage. I've already talked, Dave Wheaton just left. I've already talked to Dave Wheaton about that and Jeff about a certain color that we could use for the curb, I think.
And when it goes up, if you make sure that, again, and just like we asked of the fire company, that we get publicity out in all possible means and formats so that people know. And from time to time, they need to remind people in our monthly newsletter.
And I also wanted to reiterate that we do offer a parking lot for employees and business owners to park in. It's the church parking lot, which is on right next to Baked. What
Church Street.
On Church Street. Sorry. Church Street. I'm tired.
Church and Baked.
And sorry. I always ask the business owners to let their employees know to park there. And sometimes the employees park there, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes the business owners park there, and sometimes they don't. They all know that there is a designated spot for employees and business owner parking. And we've even offered, if you're working late at night, for a police escort to walk you to your car. But everyone knows that they all know where the employee parking is. Morgan?
I just wanted to clarify this unloading zone, that's for everyone, correct?
No, just for parcel delivery. So that would be UPS, FedEx, USPS, Amazon, drone.
Drone.
Mm-hmm. Drone. That's coming. Yeah, DHL, and but it's not for the restaurant loading and unloading. That they're usually there early in the morning, and they've got tractor trailers. They're always parked on a different area, so it's only for parcel delivery, because that's what's been the problem historically. Since I've been here, you drive down Main Street in the middle of the summer, and it's busy, and we've got our ambassadors out, and people are crossing the street, and all of a sudden, a UPS truck just stops in the middle of Main Street, and no one can get around, and it's dangerous. So apparently, the town's been trying to do this for I don't know how many years, so I very much appreciate you doing this tonight.
And you're very supportive. I think you're going to be delighted as anyone. Makes sense, and I hope that it works as well as we anticipate.
Now, I do have one question. When you say 2 15-minute designated parking spaces, is that going to go from the parking sign that we see on Commerce Street? Yes, but for the topic of this, it'll go from that parking sign to the beginning of the entrance for the parking lot, so it's pretty clear and easy to understand that section.
It won't be that.
It's not that.
It's not.
It's like 5 parking spaces.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So this is only 2 parking spaces. So there's plenty of parking even past that.
The entrance of the drive-through.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right. Next, we'll go to item number 8, which is Finance Director Madeline Saleem. We'll give some financial projections and a general review regarding. Budget.
Good evening, everybody. As we approach in closer to our new fiscal year budget, 6 months overview starting July through December. And all it is basic a summary and a little bit of details by the category of revenues collected for 6 months and expenditures for each fund. So the first one, we will go into the general fund. The revenues collected as of December 31st, this is July through December, not as of today, it's $4.5 million. Total expenditures, it's about $3.2 million. We're a little bit under in revenue collections, 30% because real estate taxes and some grants come in at the end of the fiscal year. So, but I'm expecting that to be as projected or close to be, or even more would be better. Next slide gives you a little breakdown by category of revenues and category by expenses by categories as well. So taxes collected 26%, remaining at 3 million. Licenses and permits 66,000. Grants and a county grant is about at half of it, which pretty much on the trend to be. Service charges 573, 33% remaining, and then we have impact fees lagging a little bit behind, but the construction probably will resume as spring approaches us. So far, we are at 4.5, which is the sum number from the first slide, with 30% remaining to collect. The expenditures by the categories, we have capital items. General government include all of the services provided by finance, elected officials, administration, economic development, planning, police department, fire and EMS services, debt service, recreation parks, planning and community, and public works. It all the expenses pretty much at where they're supposed to be at 50% for 6 months. That's the numbers right there on the bottom. Main sources of revenues come in 68% from taxes. We have a little bit of licenses and permit grants. County grant is the biggest one. And then we have service charges such as permits and building and review miscellaneous permits. Expenses by category, police department 28%, fire and EMS 12%. We have 7% for service, debt service, planning, community development 7%, public works at 14%, capital items at 4%, and general government 27%. That is all for the general fund. Next one is electric fund. Electric fund doing pretty good. We have 3 million in revenues collected. Total expenditures at 2 million. They're above by 980. And they're pretty much on the good sliding path of 60% to be expensed. And that is the details for that. Main services coming from sales of electric, and that's pretty much sales of electric as at cost, which contributed by the purchase of the power as an expense. So the total revenues, I'm not going to go line by line. I want to point out this, skip that slide. That big amount right here, 873,000 of it came from the insurance claim. That's for our new generator. So that number looks big, but it's because we have the miscellaneous item in there. 60% expensed, which is on a good pass at 2.1 million, and the expenses consist of purchase power, personnel expenses, supplies and operations, debt service, professional services, contracted insurance, repairs and maintenance, capital items, and general overhead. Main revenues at 69% is sales of electric. We have some service charges and miscellaneous, as I mentioned, consist of that insurance claim. The expenses by the category, we have biggest part of the purchase power, personnel expenses 22%, supplies, debt service, insurance, repairs and maintenance, and general overhead is 11%. Water fund, total revenues 378 as of December. We have special connection fees collected at 1,800 so far. This is the equivalent dwelling unit, which is EDUs, and total expenditures at 368,000. So far, water is doing good. It's $12,000 above, and the expenses as expected. details, service charges, which is water sales, 318, special connection fees, which is EDUs, sales and services. That's everything that water service provide beside the water sales. Interest and miscellaneous, so far at $380,000 total. And expenses by categories, personnel, supplies, contracted services, insurance, repairs and maintenance, capital items, and general overhead at $368,000, which is at 60%. Main part of the water source revenues is service charges, which is the sales for the water, and then we have a little bit of miscellaneous and interest. Water fund for expenses by category, personnel expense 43%, supplies, contracted services, insurance, repairs and maintenance at 13%, and general overhead. Sewer fund, total revenues at million, special connection fees, which is the EDUs, 4,000 collected. We have a big amount to go, but I'm hoping that we will complete that number. Total expenditures at a million so far is doing really good. It's $14,000, almost $15,000 above the expenses. By category for the water fund revenues, biggest part is service charges, which is the sewer charges.
Sewer.
Yes. Special connection fees, which is EDUs. Hauler fees, that's what we accept from outside vendor services. Interest on the delinquent accounts and miscellaneous. So far, it's $1 million collected. We've projected 2.4, so we're at a good percent. Category by expenses, pretty much the same as the water fund. Sewer fund has personnel, supplies, debt service, professional services, contracted, insurance, repairs, maintenance, capital items, and general overhead. Overall, it's 58%, which where are we supposed to be as of 6 months. By category, obviously the sales of sewer or charges for sewer, some interest on delinquent, and a hauler fees at 6%. Expenses by category, 37% is personnel, supplies 15%. We have debt service of 20%, contracted services, insurance, repairs and maintenance, and general overhead at 20%. Stormwater fund, we have total revenues of 80% that consist of stormwater fees, residential and commercial. We have projected receive grant for submerged wetlands. That's being received already, but not recorded because it ends as of December. Total expenditures, including the capital items for the submerged wetlands, at 236. So this particular summary is showing that the stormwater is under by 156, but like I mentioned, we're receiving the grants for the capital items. By the category service charges, interest on delinquent and some miscellaneous items. So far, it's $80,000 collected in revenues and $236,000 spent on the stormwater, consists of personnel, supplies, professional services, contracted, insurance, and capital items. Pretty blue pie chart. All of it is stormwater fees. And stormwater by categories, contracted services 94%, supplies, personnel cost at 54%, and capital items at 50%, insurance 12%. That's all I have for each fund, unless you want me to go back to one specific slide. Sure.
By, you know, from the overview there, that the one utility, and plus the general fund, the only one that's underwater, ironically, is stormwater.
Stormwater.
And that's something I want to point out that, I always like people to know what this means to them. And I think that it is something we're going to have to look at because we're not even halfway through all the work that needs to be done. And we're not able to keep up with the ongoing costs. And that's including getting all the grants that we're eligible for and then some. So I would say just to let the council and the public know, that's one of the things we're going to have to look at, our stormwater fees in the new budget process. Other than that,
yes, it's definitely need to be looked at. So far, the service charges, which is the stormwater, residential, and commercial, it's barely enough to cover just the personnel and operating day-to-day costs. So if we're, like, example, this particular project for submerged water, if we would incur any additional costs what above being projected at the time of the budget or the time we've acquired cost from the vendor, that would be above, and that will put the stormwater below. Under the water, we use a new expression.
You said you had the question?
Yes, sure do. What's the status on Jean Holloway's water and sewer study?
She has the information. This question is in regards to a young lady that came before the council by the name of Jean Holloway, where she was going to assist the town in a water rate study. She does, in fact, have all the information from the town. The last written communication with Jean, she has it. She's still working on one more, and then we're next in the chute.
Mm-hmm. And this is a service that her agency provides. It's not like a fee.
Correct. But it's free of charge.
That we've had enough experience now that we can hopefully benefit from it, and that'll be one more set of information that we can make a judgment on about the budget.
And then the other thing I want to add, the stormwater utility, so everyone understands, there were only two employees in that department. Just two.
I have a question.
Sure.
Can you go back to this slide, but for the sewer fund?
Yep.
So now, am I reading this correctly when I look at the interest on delinquent accounts? Budgeted was $10,000. At 6 months, we've exceeded that. Is that correct?
That probably including all of the miscellaneous invoices outstanding as well. I'm going to look into
for like
the
a billing cycle.
Yes, for the billing cycle.
Can we get that number? Are delinquent accounts up over the 6 month period?
Mm-hmm.
In relation to past fiscal years, delinquent accounts are up.
You want to compare 6 months to 6 months from the fiscal 18 to 19 or 19-20?
I'm saying in this period of time, like. Do we typically see this volume of delinquent accounts, or has that increased this fiscal year?
Well, it's normally a trend of being through the winter because we don't normally disconnect through the winter due to the weather, so the delinquency going up.
So this is a noticeable seasonal trend.
Right, it's a seasonal trend.
Okay, thank you.
And like I said, when you give us the update, you can keep us posted.
Sure.
If it's coming back, like it's normally does. It's a tight time of year for everyone. But at the same time, let's just see how I think the concern here is obviously the sewer fees had to go up substantially because of the losses that we were incurring. And we wanted to see if that's having a direct impact on the folks, you know, the folks who live here in businesses that are operating.
Right.
Where did you say where the service charges are?
They will be in the service charges. Combined on this particular summary would be in the service charges in the total amount. But on the breakdown, on the detailed breakdown, on the financial statements, we separate them. It would be too much to separate every single item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone have any other questions for now? Yes, Eric. We'll take one at a time.
Sorry. Mine are just clarification question. Can you go back? I think it's the general fund to the fire department payment. Okay. I might be confused on this. So this says right now at 6 months we're 29% paid, but didn't they just report that they were halfway paid for the agreement?
Yes, the payment was issued January 15th. So it's by half. The payment is
right, because it's a new
not contract. Recorded in here.
And then my other question, just for clarification, the Worcester County grants for $465, are those, is that broken down in the budget that I can look at, or can you quickly tell me where that goes?
Yeah. $465 is one-time grant. We receive it in one check once a year. What you see here is 100% received. That's it. There's nothing else going to be posted to that account.
Is that specific? Like, is it only for, we can only use it for
Yeah, it's not restricted. What we're actually using it for, I mean, that in terms of trying to budget in the future, to basically we're taking the money from the county and then turning it over to the fire company and then adding what we can of our own. And that this is the crux of the dilemma. And that's shown again in the budget. You know, the fire company grant is shown in as an expense, and the county grant is shown as a revenue under the general fund. But basically, you take the 465.
And it's going straight to the fire company?
Well, I mean,
it's coming to us, basically. Well, yeah. We determine how to disperse, but in the historically pattern, we pretty much were turning around and issuing the check or putting it to the FAR and EMS services.
Plus whatever
additional.
Yeah. And again, that range was for a few years, $605,000 total. Again, it was four for years.
450. We started with, it was 400 for the longest, then it went up by 450, and now we're at 465.
Right. So you can see the difference, and what we're trying to do is find out, okay, what can we commit to, given the fact that things are so tight? At the same time, that's where we have to have these, I believe we should have these discussions, not only this town, but all towns. What is our fire, particularly EMS, responsible for serving, and if it's different in different towns, which makes perfectly good sense, shouldn't the grants be adjusted to what's actually happening out there in the real world? Because right now, the difference, we're just expected to pick up the difference no matter what it is, and in my opinion, and we'll make sure this comes out in review, because every time we reviewed it, we're outside of Ocean City, we're granting more support for fire EMS than any municipality in Worcester County, and it's not even close, except for Ocean City, which I say we're not a resort, and we're not, you know, don't have a budget that size. But I think some logical adjustment needs to be made because, you know, we don't plan, you know, that 113 is only going to get busier. I hope that the access to all points east, West Ocean City, Ocean Pines, and Ocean City continue to thrive, but they're coming right through our town limits, and that impacts the calls. And there's no way of even addressing it in the way things were done, because they're done essentially the ways they were done in the last century. Things have changed. I just want a rational approach and a partnership approach that's fair to all the municipalities, not just Berlin. But I think Berlin's in a very tight spot because of where we are.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Can you go back to the previous grant?
Did you say sewer? I'm sorry.
I was looking at the general overhead costs that are 25% remaining. I think that was the sewage department, or was it the...
Each utility fund have overhead cost, electric fund.
There you go.
And the water.
You were just there. Go back.
Okay.
One right there.
Okay.
The general overhead budget is for $380,000?
Yes, sir.
But you're at the end of 6 months, you're at $239,000. That's a statistic that really alarms me.
That is a manual entry. We recorded each quarter, so it might be just a lack in a journal entry.
So more expenses in the first half of the year than there are in the second half?
No. We separate that by quarters and just manually journalize that.
Well, that's a six-month report then. I mean, so you're saying that you have $200,000 at the end of 6 months, which would put that overhead over by probably $100,000 at the end of the year if that doesn't get straight.
It will be recorded in January at the end of the quarter. Okay. It will be 100% at the 12 months.
Okay, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, watching the lines. Okay.
The general overhead, yes, general overhead is not an actual physical expense. It's not purchases of the supplies or equipment or personnel. It's allocation of the administrative duties through the utility funds.
I'm just looking at it from a dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for pointing out.
Any other questions for Natalie? All right. Thank you very much, Natalie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We look forward to the budget process.
Yes.
I think we're looking forward to it, but then get another update at the end of the third quarter.
Yes.
Okay. Next, we're going to have our departmental reports. And we'll start with water resources.
Mayor, if I may, it's May again. I'm just going to add to my report.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I have one more thing. I would like to let everybody aware that Energy Assistance Fund did really, really good this year. I was putting it out there for the media and for customer service to actually let everybody know that donations that received to Energy Fund going right back to the utility accounts of the town of Berlin. And we were able to collect 4,700 from residents of Berlin. So town of Berlin matching this amount by the same number. So $9,400 went back to Shore Up, and the monies will be distributed to the citizens of town of Berlin who are in need or low income. So thank you so much for everybody just supporting that.
It's been a very successful program. The town does not that money, Shore Up that's,
yes.
That's what they do. They
determine the qualifications. They determine who will receive the money. We just send a check.
And that's grown. I mean, it started out, you know, it started out nicely, but it's grown and it continues to grow. This is the most we've ever collected.
We are at 81,000 so far for the past years. Total.
Is there ever any carryover, or is the entire year dispersed in that fiscal year?
It dispersed per year. We don't carry it over.
And on behalf of Shore Up, we thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to remind that next meeting, February the 10th, 6:30 p.m., we're going to have a little 30-minute work session. And I ask all the departments to present me with the capital outlay items for fiscal 2021, the items that they feel that absolutely must be completed in the next fiscal year. So I will present a summary and it's just a rough draft, and also would like to discuss some revenue projections as well. So just a reminder, at 6:30, not at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I think at the last meeting I promised I was going to start giving you more census information than you could possibly want. So here we go. Census, they have jobs open. They really still need help. It's fairly flexible work. You can do it around your schedule. It's pretty good pay. Contact them at, there's a 1-855-JOB-2020 or on the website, 2020census.gov/jobs. Really great part-time work for people who are looking for just a few months, make a little bit of extra money, and do a service along with collecting the census data. I'd also like to thank Morgan for a really great article in last week's Bayside Gazette regarding the census. It was on the front page, had really good information in there about where Worcester County has kind of fallen short in the last census and how we're really hoping to bring those numbers up in the current year.
Which impacts the number of the amount of the grants that we get both county and town level.
It impacts areas that people just don't even think about. It impacts everything from what we normally think of as government services, social services, government services, but it can also impact whether or not a business decides to locate in an area. They're going to look at census data to get that initial demographic information. It can impact how businesses go about hiring. It has a much broader impact to every aspect of quality of life than people really, really think it does. But I'll get into that at future meetings.
Thank you.
No spoilers. The other thing that I have is that the Parks Commission meets next Tuesday, the 4th at 5:30.
Thank you. Any questions for Mary? Next is Water Resources Director Jeremy Lapp.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm going to keep it short. We've been working with the budgets with Natalie, trying to get stuff ready for 2021. We've been working on redoing some water services. And we've had people going away for some CEUs, which is continuing education, so we can keep our water and wastewater license up to date. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Jamie? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. At 126 Flower Street, we replaced a pole there. That pole was actually hit by lightning some time back, knocked a pretty good chunk out of the top of it, so we ended up replacing that pole. Then also at over at the Berlin Fire Department, we had to replace one of the transformers over there that feed the fire department. There was no outage during that time frame. They have a full capability backup generator, so it carried the fire department during that time. Then at 10624 Flower Street, we ended up replacing a utility pole there. And then right at the old PNC Bank drive-thru, there's a new service. There's actually two new services there. Two new businesses are going in there. So we had to run a new service for that. And then I wanted to bring you up to date on the generator at the power plant. Auburn Cat Diesel had to come in and do some testing prior to the engine being installed. They had to do what's called a test bore, the concrete floor, to make sure it could support the engine, which they did that, and we're waiting for the results to come back from that. And then they also did a pressure test on the cooling tower to make sure it had enough pressure to support the new engine that's being built. And as far as this week, we're going to start meter reading tomorrow, so we'll be out and about in the neighborhoods for the next couple of days on that.
Anyone have any questions for Tim?
Mayor, I want to add something. Mr. Lawrence, in the morning, he was to be better known as Professor Lawrence because he was proctoring an exam. We had a young lady over at Stephen Decatur High School. I'll withhold her name. She is a senior. She made application for the AMP, American Municipal Power Scholarship Opportunity that students in this area are allowed to participate with because of the utility we have here. What I will tell you, she is a senior. She is. She's completed her application. Her weighted GPA is in excess of 5 points. Very bright young lady. I've met her before over at the Welcome Center. Super lady, so we got our fingers crossed. We hope within the next 2 to 3 weeks that we know whether she received this or not.
Do we have any internships?
She was our intern for the last 6 months.
No, I'm saying in the electric department. Or is that what you're saying? She was an intern in the electric department?
No, she
was an intern at the Welcome Center.
She was an intern for us, for Economic and Community Development and Berlin Chamber of Commerce.
She's a senior in high school with aspirations of going to college in the Midwest.
Oh.
Are
you relocating?
Me?
No, Tim.
What's that?
As an intern.
Tim proctored the exam this morning. It was an online exam.
She applied for the AMP.
Actually, AMP gives away 10 of these scholarships per year at $3,000 each.
That's awesome.
So she applied for it and was accepted to test for it. So she came in this morning and tested for it.
Very nice. Very encouraging. Well, great job, Professor.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Allen.
Good evening. Speaking about generators today, our generator was tested and everything went well. We are planning for the training or in service for this year, 2020 season. Everything went well last year. And we're looking at different recruiting strategies to go ahead and fill the vacant spots that we do have. That's the report.
Any questions for the Chief?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to state again, we have a couple of upcoming public hearings for your body and for public hearing. First one, we have legally advertised for our meeting of February 10th is to take on the Mayor and Council will consider the recommendation of the Planning Commission to annex the old McDonald's and Myers Tool rental properties. The second one, it will be in the second meeting in February. I haven't advertised that yet. I haven't been required to by statute. But on the 24th, That will be a public hearing for the rezoning of the two parcels. That's a recommendation the Planning Commission made from their last meeting. Two parcels on the north side of Route 50, just west of North Main Street, Route 818. They are currently zoned industrial district, and the Planning Commission has made a recommendation by unanimous motion at their last meeting to, it's approximately 30 acres, just shy of that, between the two parcels, to B2, to our general business district, along Route 50, west of Main Street, headed towards Salisbury on the north side of 50. So that one, I anticipate advertising that one starting next week. That'll be on the 24th of February, the mayor and council meeting. So two public hearings coming up.
Very good. Any questions for Dave? Finally, we have our Economic and Community Development Director, Ivy Love.
Thank you, Mary. For those who haven't seen or don't remember, the town received a $10,000 grant, community legacy grant for new trash cans and also cigarette butt recycle receptacles. And we received those, and Dave Wheaton put those up last week. And I've contracted with it's a company in Trenton, New Jersey called TerraCycle. It's all free. And we collect the cigarette butts out of these receptacles, and we bag them and we put them in a box. They send us, I print out a mailing label, and I ship them off. So the butts that are put into these are used to make benches for our butts to sit on.
Very good. It's the ultimate recycling.
That's correct. But there was no town funding that was used to pay for these. So this was fully grant-funded, 100% grant-funded, and it'll also help save on trash as well. And then I just have one other thing. Before it hits the press tomorrow, the Jack Burbage block is for sale. That includes the buildings on Pitt Street and Main Street that have Shepherd Realty, Beach Gypsy, Toy Town, Town Center, Antiques, Burley Inn Tavern, and also Uncle John's Soap. So those buildings they're up for sale for $1.9 million. If anyone's interested, contact Jenny Shepherd at Shepherd Realty. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for either?
Mayor, mine will be very short. I just I feel fairly confident within the next week to 10 days that I'll be back with the mayor and council seeking approval to open Heron Park. I've got my fingers crossed, so hopefully things will work, and I'll be back in front of you asking for that permission. That's all I have.
Yeah, I encourage any council members to go out there and take a look if you want to see what the progress looks like.
That's good.
Do you have any questions for you?
A bad idea.
Ask Jeff, because he'll be right on top of it. Great, thank you. As far as comments, I just want to make the formally announce that the tax rate will be introduced for the first time, the proposed tax rate, on March 9th, just so everybody knows, because people can understand, and that the public hearing on the proposed tax rate is March 23rd. I mean, these are both regular session meetings. So just for those, for the press and for just the public in general, to know what those dates are. Do you have anything else?
I have nothing.
Nothing?
I have nothing.
Okay. Very good. Do we have any questions? Any questions or anyone I want to address the council this time in attendance? Do we have any questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Thank you very much for your patience and attention.
Detroit.